Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's Matt Gaetz. I know a lot of folks are paying attention to the race to replace me in Florida's 1st Congressional District, and it looks like there's going to be really a lot of talent in that race. Here's what I just wanted to share as an observation. Jimmy Patronis just resigned as the Chief Financial Officer of the state to come and seek this position. And this should validate the people of Florida's 1st District. Here's why. This guy was a statewide elected official.
This was the weirdest video. Matt Gaetz, first of all, wearing a baseball cap, which I didn't actually recognize him at first. He is on his Twitter feed. I had heard that he had done this video, and I went to watch it yesterday. It was actually the day before he had done it. But I went to watch it yesterday, and at first I skipped past it because I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is, but I don't care. And then I went back like, oh, that's Matt in a baseball cap. I didn't even recognize him. So he's in a baseball cap in his post-congressional outfit, I guess. I guess that's what people do when they're no longer in elected office. They wear baseball hats all of a sudden. Anyway, so he's doing this video in which he's trying to persuade me that I should feel honored as a resident of District 1 that Jimmy Patronis has left the state job he had as the CFO and is going to run to be my congressman.
His bosses ranged from Key West all the way up to Jacksonville, all the way to the end of Perdido Key. And he is willing to trade a statewide elected position because Florida 1 is that special.
What? Oh, I should feel grateful. I mean, okay, listen. Prefatory remarks. I like Matt. A lot, okay? Matt's sharp. I've interviewed him hundreds of times. I mean, okay, I'm actually a fan, okay? I like Matt. I don't think Matt usually, he's going to be doing this TV show. I don't think Matt usually does the best when he's the host of a thing. I think he does the best when he's the interviewee, when he's in there to fight with somebody. I don't, when he's doing his podcast, I don't know that it was all that great, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe it's going to be fantastic at OAN. I mean, I don't know. You know, people... Whoever. I just know that he's great at debating, okay? And he's very engaging when he's fighting with people, when he's feisty. But I'm a fan. I'm also a fan of Jimmy Patronis. I like Jimmy. I've talked to him a few times. Good guy, solid guy, very capable. If he gets elected to Congress, I believe he'll make a very good congressman. And it is true. He gave up being the CFO of the state in order to run for CD1. But it's not like an honor to us. It's not like doing us a favor. He's not, I feel like this is being portrayed like, okay. So, you know, Jimmy had a good marriage, you know, he was married to this beautiful woman, you know, they had this great family, everything was going good. And then you over here, CD1, you know, you got jilted, you got left at the altar, and he's going to leave all that behind and do you the favor of marrying you. That's how it feels to me. It sounds like he's trying to give us a compliment. You're so special. That's why he wanted to be your congressman. No, we're available. Again, keep in mind, I like Jimmy. I do, and I think he'll probably win. I think he'll probably be a great congressman. But this approach to this race is so ridiculous. He chose you. You're special. No, he didn't think he could become governor in 2 years, and the seat that he lives in is not available, and... DeSantis is not going to make him the senator. So what else can he do? Well, he can get into Congress, and then he could probably be a congressman for 30 years if he wants to be. So this, Matt's just, he's so much smarter than this is what bothered me about it.
You are so wonderful. A community made up of active duty military, veterans, patriotic Americans who love our country as we should. And so I just think, however the race goes, whoever ends up winning, I know the people of our district will produce a great member of Congress.
You're special. You're pretty. You're smart. You're going to make a good choice. You know what the good choice is? Jimmy Patronis.
But it is significant that someone wants to serve you so much that they would resign a statewide elected position. I don't know that that's ever happened. I don't know that anyone has ever done that to pursue a seat in Congress. And I think it says something about Florida One and how amazing you are.
Again, we're available. That's our defining characteristic. And okay, Jimmy's probably going to win. And I think we'll do well to have him as our Congress. By the way, the other candidates, they're all running to be like the inheritor of the Matt Gaetz throne. Even Joel Rubman described it that way. I'm the heir to the throne, the heir apparent to the... Well, if you were, maybe Matt would have endorsed you, but he didn't. And Gene Valentino, I'm going to get rid of the income tax. Really, dude? Really? You're going to get rid of the income tax? Come on. Who can be more outrageous and more MAGA than the next guy? Meanwhile, the actual MAGA, Trump, has endorsed Jimmy Petronas. And the Speaker of the House, why Mike Johnson is getting involved in this race is beyond me. But he has. He's endorsing Jimmy Petronas. So, you know, it's just, we're in such a weird place. Oh, by the way, I'll give you my analysis of who's likely to win in this, too, in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Dealing with an accident that just happened on North Y Street and Mobile Highway. It's been moved off to the side of the road, but I'm starting to see delays in both the eastbound and westbound direction. So just be prepared for that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know what it is, John?
What?
Don't treat me like I'm dumb. Don't treat us like we're dumb.
Exactly.
Is that too much to ask? Across the board, don't treat us like we're dumb? I mean, and by the way, this is not going to be a high turnout election. This is going to be, you know, a couple 10,000 people are going to vote in this election. It's going to be close. And in the general, in April, interesting note, if the Democrats really get activated and get out the vote, they could win because it's going to be such a small turnout election. Even if it's a heavy Republican district, right? Very unlikely for the Republican to lose. But there's nothing else drawing people to the polls except this one thing. Even who's going to replace Joel Rubman for District 3. And you got Nathan Boyles is in for that seat now, who, by the way, very capable guy. I like Nathan a lot. You know, he's been an Okaloosa County Commissioner for years, runs Adams Sanitation. I actually have said a couple of different times, man, I wish he'd run for office. You know, I'm kind of excited about that. I don't know much about the competition yet, so I can't assess the whole race. But, you know, anyway. That's going to be a separate date. You don't even have that drawing people out. And by the way, that race, same thing. It's going to be like 5,000 votes. Like, it's going to be, that election is going to be, who turns out is going to win. But here's my theory. Okay, here's my theory. Jimmy Petronas versus the nine other Republicans. All of whom on their own have merits and demerits and just like he does, okay? But here's what I think is going to happen. You remember what I said about Trump running against the Republican field? All he's got to do is win the plurality. And if you have 7 or 8 or 15 others, that dilutes the not Trump vote into anything he can beat. Now, I don't know, this time around, Trump may have been unstoppable. But we didn't even get a chance to find out because the Republicans had too many people in the field. And from the beginning, instead of 15 or whatever, we should have had DeSantis and Haley and Trump. And then we could have really seen whether the Republicans wanted to have somebody else. And we never really got that chance. Same thing back in 2016, right? Okay, a little bit different case, but similar. Same thing's going to happen here. You got Jimmy Petronas is going to get the vote he gets from the people who know his name and care that Trump endorsed him and Matt Gaetz endorsed him, and also that he on his own is a very capable candidate. Please don't hear me wrong. I genuinely believe that. But it's going to be Petronas versus the non-Petronas vote. The people who are... You know, they want somebody local. They just don't want somebody who's close but not quite in district. Who, by the way, as the Constitution says, you don't have to live in district. It's not a requirement. You got to be 25 and you got to live in the state. That's it. You don't have to live in the district. It's not a requirement. But all the others are going to carve up the non-Petronas vote. And all he's got to do is win, you know, 20-25% and he's in. Because all of these other people think it's my turn. It's my turn. It's my turn. It's my turn. And they become like the gaggle of the background geese, you know, pilching each other's non-Petronas share of the vote, none of whom has really stood out yet as the one that's really the proper alternative, and the others are going to stay in, and it's a short time window, so it's who's going to spend the most money, get out the most name recognition, generate the most outrageous attention in the news for the things that they're promising, and that's going to be your race. And we got 6 weeks to figure it out. 721 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Find the perfect gift for every gun enthusiast at Jim's Firearms. From the precision-loving sharpshooter to the adventure-ready outdoorsman, they've got something for everyone. Equip Mr. Tactical with the latest accessories or surprise the concealed carrier with stylish options for safety and comfort. Don't forget the high-tech Target Master and the noob just starting out who would greatly enjoy the Mantis shooting system. The Man Caver and the Kid at Heart would love their unique gifts, too. Can't decide? Grab a gift card. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Sorrento and Blue Angel Parkway.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I admit that on the face of it, this plan sounds idiotic and impossible. Imagine Macy's Santa Claus sending customers to Gimbel's. Oh, but gentlemen, you cannot argue with success.
Going downtown and spreading good cheer, handing gloves out. Volunteer for the children, grinning from ear to ear, singing Christmas time is here.
And everybody's like, ha ha ha, ho ho ho. Four-wheel driving through the snow, fighting the cold with some hot cocoa. Grabbing grandma to the mall, we go. And there's a man outside with a bucket and a bell. Wants to go home with a story to tell. He's reminding us that his Christmas got nothing to do with living for himself. It's not a Christmas shining.
The more I listen to this song, the more it just sounds like a song somebody made here. Doesn't it kind of sound like a song that somebody in Escambia or Santa Rosa County made?
Grabbing your 4x4.
I know,
yeah.
Going through the snow. It's Owl City with Toby Mac. So, yeah, it's pretty good. 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Somebody says, you know, whatever it is about who Matt Gaetz endorses, I'm going to support the person that makes sense to me. I'm going to scrutinize his pick before I vote for him. Good. I hope everybody does. I really hope everybody does. 437-1620. Do I want to talk about this? I kind of do. I have some thoughts about the United Healthcare shooting story as a story. Okay. Let's get John Pickens in here with Traffic on the Fives first.
That's right. It is brought to you by me. Sorry. Vehicle crashing with injuries still on North Y Street and Mobile Highway. The road is open, but we're seeing some delays. Also, 98 eastbound from the Navarre Beach Bridge going all the way through 98. We're seeing some major delays there as people try to get to work. No accidents, just major congestion delays. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, okay, the lead top story for all week has been this UnitedHealthcare CEO and the guy who killed him, right? It's been like, you can't escape it, okay? It's everywhere. I mentioned to you yesterday that I didn't understand why people are so captivated by this story. I don't agree with this being the lead most important thing in the world. There are all kinds of other murders that happen, all kinds of other crimes that happen. It's actually beginning to frustrate. It's what I said before. It's beginning to frustrate me that the news is spending so much time on this one case, okay? And now what we're doing is we're airing the ambient audio from the guy yelling out his viewpoint when he's getting booked into the detention center. We're talking about his history, and we're showing video of his commencement, and we're airing his grievances, and we're listing out his manifesto, and we're telling you why he did what he did, and talking about his back injuries and all this. Are you kidding me? What message are we sending to every lunatic in the United States? Oh, you want to be heard? Go shoot somebody. You want your message out? Just kill somebody. They'll put your message on every newscast in the United States. It's how we do. You have a grievance? Don't show up city council. Don't get engaged in politics. Don't write your congressman. Don't try to write an op-ed for the local paper. Don't say something on Facebook. Just go commit a felony and, you know, become notorious, and then we'll publish your ideas. The same news entities that avoid publicizing suicides out of the fear of copycat behavior, out of the fear of making it seem like, you know, it's normal and okay, and that is a good policy to have, are right now celebrating, either overtly or inadvertently, this murderer and treating him like he's some ideological hero, whether they're trying to do that or not. They are rewarding him with exactly the kind of thing that unstable people crave. Stop it. Too strong, John?
No, I just wholeheartedly agree. I'm tired of it.
Stop it.
Yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well, our top headline.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, lead in.
Coming from New York City right now.
President Biden is reportedly warning the incoming Trump administration of national security issues in a new classified memo.
Reuters says the document was described by administration officials who did not want to be identified to reporters in general terms, but has not been independently reviewed. National security memo reportedly states that Russia is giving fighter jets, missile defense, and space technology to Iran in exchange for helping Russia in its fight against Ukraine. Reuters says it also states that Russia is giving fuel, money, and technology to North Korea and is conducting joint patrols with China in the Arctic. I'm Michael Kastner.
And chatbot company Character.ai is being sued for allegedly leading teenagers to harm themselves. The lawsuit claims the chatbot allows underage users to be targeted with explicit, violent, and harmful content. Also an update here, a bankruptcy judge now rejecting The Onion's bid to buy Alex Jones InfoWars. A bankruptcy judge threw out The Onion's bid yesterday. They said the offer and the process were flawed. Jones, of course, was ordered to sell off InfoWars to settle a lawsuit won by parents of the Sandy Hook shooting.
All right, David, thanks so much for an update. Somebody texted me. I feel like I just got put in timeout. Somebody else says, I totally agree with you about on social media, people are actually making that shooter into some kind of a hero. Yeah, no, this is a problem. You know when you're driving on the highway and you're cooking along at 70 or 80, but you're cooking along at fast speed, and then all of a sudden you get stuck in traffic on I-10 for an hour because why? Not because there's a crash necessarily, but because there was a crash maybe on the other side of the road, and then people just tap the brake a little to look, and they tap the brake a little to look, and they tap the brake a little to look, right? And that's what makes the traffic back up. Same thing in our culture. Andrew, you've got the audio from this guy yelling. Why don't you play it? I'm not going to be the guy who makes the problem worse. Stop cringe watching all of these catastrophes and making everybody's lives worse. Don't cringe watch the accident. Don't cringe watch the murderer. Find better content. Demand better content.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. A group of New Jersey mayors is briefed by the governor and state police today about large high-tech drones flying over the state over the last month. Governor Phil Murphy says there's no known public threat. State Senator Douglas Steinhardt on Fox.
Dismissing this drone activity and its daily drone activity as nothing or no threat to me without some explanation, detailed explanation as to how they arrived at that conclusion is just, it's irresponsible and dangerous.
Drones have been spotted over a military research facility and President-elect Trump's golf club, among other places. Daniel Penny, acquitted of homicide in Jordan Neely's chokehold death on the New York City subway, tells Fox he was protecting passengers and himself from Neely's threats.
The guilt I would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, would never be able to live with myself.
Prosecutor said he went too far. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 51 degrees in Pensacola, partly cloudy skies this morning. A registered sex offender is facing new charges for allegedly assaulting a young family member. 55-year-old Teddy Morvant was arrested last week. According to a report, he's accused of sexually assaulting a young family member when she was between 5 and 6 years old in 2023 and 2024. Morvant was arrested last Thursday. He's charged with lewd and lascivious molestation and sexual battery. He's pleaded not guilty in the case and is due back in court December 27th. Three family members facing charges after an altercation with Pensacola police at Seville Quarter last month. 38-year-old Lindsay Spencer, 28-year-old Bishop Spencer, and 23-year-old Caden Spencer were all arrested on battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting arrest charges. According to a report, that started November 29th when one of the family members attempted to get into Seville but was stopped by a police officer and told he was too drunk to go in. That led to an altercation between that family member and the officer. Then the two other family members got involved. All three were arrested. Bishop remains in jail on a $40,000 bond. The Escambia Board of Commissioners looking into reinstating an old policy that would limit commissioners' presence on social media or online blogs. That policy was lifted in 2019, but it was in effect for more than a decade before that.
I want the citizens of Escambia County to trust the Board of County Commissioners. And these kind of policies make it look where we can be more transparent and that we live by a code of conduct that same as our oath. We're just bringing back common sense, honestly.
That is Commission Chairman Mike Kohler. If the policy were to be approved, commissioners wouldn't be allowed to discuss their county business on social media or online blogs. They'd also be discouraged from using phones during meetings. The first draft of that policy will be discussed at their meeting tomorrow. Newly arrived immigrants in Florida public schools took part in the Rally to Tally for New Floridians this week. Spokeswoman Osiris De Los Rios says the field trip gives students an opportunity to see firsthand how the legislative system works.
They work on agendas, they work on proposals, they amend them, they work on it, and then they propose it and they go in front of the Capitol. They propose it to some of the legislators there.
And the goal is to bring the democratic process alive for students that are learning about state history and government. Well, a warning for would-be porch pirates. Penalties have been enhanced. If you swipe a package worth upwards of $40, you might have a felony on your record if you get caught. That from Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody.
Do not leave packages unattended. Consider shipping to secure locations nearby or scheduling a package to be held if out of town.
Moody says that porch pirates were responsible for more than $12 billion in thefts last year. She's recommending people monitor when your packages are due and, if possible, have security cameras at your home. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. If you're traveling on the Garcon Point Bridge right now, basically, traffic is at a standstill due to construction. I'm seeing no accidents there. Also, if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing some congestion delays through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic's looking good. Oh, 98 eastbound from the Navarre Beach Bridge going east. It's just a nightmare right there. So about pack an extra 20, 30 minutes into your commute. For that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Showers come to an end early this morning with temperatures dropping. 57 degrees for your high with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38. Staying chilly for that Thursday with a high near 55 degrees, sunny skies. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 42 degrees. For Friday, high near 61 with mostly sunny skies. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. It's 50 degrees right now. Partly cloudy. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Scordo with Your Money Now. The average contract interest rate for 30-year mortgages decreased from 6.67% to 6.69%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. As a result, applications to refinance a home loan surged 27% week to week and were 42% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home fell 4% for the week. Major insurance stocks, including United Health Group, CVS, and Cigna, have fallen more than 6% since their closing prices last Tuesday, the day before the deadly shooting of Brian Thompson, CEO of United Health's insurance arm. The company's poor performances appear to be in response to the renewed rhetoric condemning insurers' business models, according to a healthcare equity strategist. And Macy's said today it's concluded investigation into an employee who intentionally hid about $151 million of delivery expenses. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials fell 154. That's Your Money Now.
More than just a location, the Port of Pensacola is a thriving economic engine and a strategic gateway fueling growth and prosperity across Northwest Florida. Since 1754, it's become the cornerstone of the region's economic vitality, with over 20 dynamic businesses calling it home, including major players like Cemex Materials, General Electric Verona's Wind Energy, Offshore Inland Marine, Pete Stevedore, and the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Discover the possibilities at portofpensacola.com.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Wayne Barr from Anderson Subaru, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. God bless.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Pensacola Hardware, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a happy new year.
Hi, this is Abby at Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa, and we're wishing you a happy holiday.
Hi, this is Leslie Perino with EW Bullitt, wishing everyone happy holidays.
This is Riley from Drip Parlor Downtown, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Let's take a look at some of these texts. 437-1620. Somebody says, red light cameras are theft. Legalized theft, nothing else, is one of my concerns.
Andrew McKay.
It's not that hefty of a concern, because I always think the idea of getting tickets, whether parking or moving, that you can't dispute is a problem. So the question is going to be, how accurate, how reliable are they? How many false positives are we getting? And, you know, time will tell, I suppose.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Does that mean we have 3 million people going through a 1.5 million airport? That's what we have right now. And so we're very, very excited to get this project going. We're on track to break ground on this expansion in July.
So that was the mayor at the State of the City address last week talking about the airport capacity, which, you know, we've got a new terminal coming. They have maxed out as much parking as we can possibly max out on the ground. They're going to have to build a new parking structure as well. God bless us for the cost that's going to involve and so forth. But I want to ask a question specifically about that number, because it caught me sideways a little bit. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola Mayor. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm a victim of my I-10 cell phone signal. I'm on the road to Leadership Florida in Jacksonville, so bear with me.
It's fine so far, and if it gives out, we'll give you a little bit of grace. Okay, so all of a sudden, I have a question that I hope you have a good answer for. We are a 1.5 million capacity airport handling 3 million people a year. That's bad. We are, I mean, it's good. It's a good problem, but it's a problem. We are expanding. We are doubling our capacity by adding a new terminal. I assume at the end of this construction, we will be at a 3 million capacity. But by the time that's finished in, what, 4 or 5 years? We'll be above 3 million. Mm-hmm. Won't we just be getting up to being still behind at that point?
Well, first of all, you know, I think five new gates. Let's just look at gate passenger traffic. We have this. We have a million more people going through the same 12 gates than we had a decade ago, right? So, and as a matter, and people ask me this question all the time. They say, "Well, wait, does that mean we can't take one more flight at the airport?" Our gate capacity is not the issue. When I say 1.5 million airport with 3 million, I understand why a citizen would say, "Well, that must mean we can't get any. We can't stuff any more flights into the airport." No, that actually is less of our problem. What we're talking about is baggage handling, baggage claim, the seating areas, things like that.
Okay.
So when we go from 12 to 17 gates, I wouldn't assume that only gets us to 3 million. And, you know, I think that helps us. And of course, there's long-term expansion plans where you could do another terminal to the other direction. And so there's plenty of growth opportunity that can take place. So from a how many flights come in and how many seats leave this airport, we don't have a capacity issue at 17, but the desperate things that need to happen, the central utility plant, the baggage claim, those are the types of things that might fit more into that concern or argument than the actual terminal expansion itself.
Okay, well, that's reassuring, because I didn't know that was the nature of the constraint, and so I appreciate you explaining that. That's great. That's a good answer. I really like the agenda item that you guys are working on for tomorrow night. That's going to be it's kind of like you've taken the Huts for Our Friends concept that Caleb had, and you're kind of turning that into the city project for how to provide temporary structures for homeless. You correct me if I'm wrong, but the short version is with American Rescue Plan money, good to be using it. You've created an account with a company that produces these things, and then you're going to buy as required or requested by local agencies, like let's say Waterfront orders 10 of them. The city will own them. You're going to place 10 of these little kind of, you know, personal huts outside at Waterfront, and then that expands their capacity and hopefully spend all the money tailoring the product to what people need. And if an agency ever goes away, you can always take them back and use them somewhere else. Do I basically have it right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the most important piece of this is once we came to the realization, this has been 1 year in the making, once we came to the realization that a low barrier shelter was well beyond a one-time $1.1 million allotment of money, that we're talking about multiple millions of dollars annually. Once we made that decision, then we moved to the next best thing, which is how do we house people today? But, you know, and so that's why I like this. It gives us the flexibility to meet need where it is and not paralyze ourselves waiting years or multiple years to solve a today problem. So if we can increase capacity with the folks that know how to handle this and case manage this, I think that's a good thing. And again, we get 2 years. We have to encumber the funds by this month,
right?
But we have 2 years to get those dollars expended.
Yeah, I mean it's a low barrier shelter without having to create a low barrier shelter. And have all the ongoing maintenance.
That's the way I see it.
And to embed it with our existing, you know, agencies, which, I, you know, again, it seems like a win all the way around. You guys are working on the new resident satisfaction survey, including a couple of, I thought your questions you mentioned for parking were pretty good. You know, would you rather pay $1 an hour and park close to your destination, or would you rather pay nothing and walk a couple of blocks? That's a good, you know, market tester kind of question. I like that you're willing to ask the question and find out what the audience says, but this is going on now, is that right? Or it's going on soon?
That's correct. Yeah, it's going on now, and it'll go through January. We normally run the survey in the fall, and it's for city residents only. The first question, I know, Andrew, you'll appreciate, is instead of asking you what council district you're in that you probably don't know,
right.
We say, is your garbage can green or black? That's your first question of the survey. They give away as a sneak preview. You know, we this is for city residents only because obviously we want there's conversations in there about things that would only affect city residents. So,
sure.
But it's very valuable. I think we had about 1,600 people put a survey in last time. There'll be everybody in the city is going to get a postcard that'll have a QR code on it in the coming days. And of course, you can go to our city website and click on that link. So we certainly would appreciate it. And I would hope if anybody knows me well enough after these 2 years, they understand that we don't just ask for the sake of asking. We do take action with these things, but that's why they're vitally important to me.
Agreed. I think it's good. And by the way, something else I really like is I remember you mentioning I think it was the State of the City, but you mentioned that on every agenda item for the city council, the idea is to put which of the 8 strategic objectives this one advances. And I think that's exactly right. That's how you reinforce the significance of those strategic objectives, and that's how you prove that you're, aiming at the mark every time you go through a city council agenda. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, sir. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. If you're traveling on the Garson Point Bridge going northbound or southbound, you're going to see some major delays due to construction, so be aware of that. 98 eastbound, right past the Navarre Beach Bridge, going to see some slowdowns there, just the congestion traffic, but I'd say plan about 30 minutes in that commute. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Mayor Reeves, one of the things that has been in the works for forever and has never quite come to fruition is the turning of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Davis Highway into two-way streets. The holdup, as I understand it, is we're trying to money, and trying to align what we're doing with FDOT's, resurfacing? Is that the idea, or to give us time to get grants? What is the plan here?
Yeah, exactly. So why is there a timeline? Why is this now finite versus just a visionary thing? Well, it's because they're due to be repaved, and they're state roads. And the conversation that really preceded me as mayor was, hey, you know what? If you'll get these resurfaced and make that a higher priority, the city will take over possession, which, as you well know, Andrew, that makes a lot of sense for FDOT. Anytime you could give up the maintenance of a road and give it to someone else, that's usually a good thing. So that was the trade-off. And that resurfacing was going to be, these numbers may have changed, but at the time, maybe $3.5 million for that to happen. But that's to keep them as one way. To go to two-way is an additional $4, $5, maybe even $6 million, and you're like, well, man, I you can imagine the first question I asked as a road engineer, street engineer was, man, how's that possible?
Right.
I mean, but it's just a couple stop signs, and then they walk you through it. You're like, oh yeah, like all the turn lanes, whether it needs to be signaled now or not, whether all of these different things, and a huge cost of it is really the north terminus. It's where they converge up there near Fairfield.
Yeah, just for people who are not sure, where they come together at the north and kind of merge into Davis Highway right at the Fairfield on-ramp, we'd proposed a roundabout maybe, figuring that out is a challenge. So sorry, just for people who haven't been following this, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. And so the bottom line is, why is there a time crunch? The time crunch is, if we're going to design the road as a two-way, design it, and you think 10%, give or take, of design for construction, $6 million-ish, about 10%. So it'd be an additional $605,000 to $600,000 of design money to get it designed as two-way. So that is what is moving. The county plans on supporting $200,000. We have put the ARPA $400,000, and we caught the last boat off the island. In order, if we don't do that now, you can expect for the next generation, and probably as long as I'm alive, that those roads will stay two-way because they'll be brand new roads. I'm sorry, one-way. They'll be brand new roads, and it would make a lot of sense to then change them right after. So we caught that deadline, and we said, hey, this is important enough. We have I-110. There's a reason that those don't need to be one-way roads. And if we want to recreate these and make these neighborhoods safer and more vibrant, then we need to get the mini interstates out of them. And so that's the goal. And so we were able to kind of seize that opportunity, use some of that ARPA funding. And then now, the next big elephant is going to be go find the construction money. Now we'll have a couple of years to do that. But we've got to make that decision right now. If we want to make this a priority, we can't wait 6 months. We got to decide now. So that's what we've done.
Okay. So not only an opportunity, but a deadline, kind of both at the same time. And as you say, the last chance to do this for probably 20 years or more, or 30 years or more. So that, which makes sense. And finding grant money theoretically shouldn't be that hard because we're putting in massive public safety improvement. You know, the roads are going to be far less dangerous to drive on, and those kinds of grants are available. So, okay, that makes sense to me. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is the sports complex / Bay Center, which you have talked about. I just thought you made such interesting comments about the Bay Center. I haven't ever heard anybody say it quite that way, and I haven't had a chance to play the clips. So instead of playing them, I'm going to have you explain it. But you don't just want the sports complex to be in the city for obvious reasons, because it benefits the city, and for, you know, logistics reasons as well. But you said some stuff about the Bay Center that I thought was important. Can you just tell people, kind of as a sports guy and also as an infrastructure guy, why the Bay Center, what you think the future of the Bay Center is? Which is not your baby. Yeah, it's a county project, right? But it still affects the city.
And it's why I'm going to, you know, and I want to be at least indirectly involved. And, you know, I joke, sometimes you can have more free-flowing opinion when you have no dog in the fight. And from a Bay Center standpoint, we have very minimal dog in the fight, except what happens there has a great impact on the city's future.
Right.
And so, as a sports writer, you know, I believe, is there a demand for some type of mixed-use facility? Sure. Is there a demand for conference space? I would presume, and that those are things that can be studied. But, you know, ultimately, the critical mass and the repair of our Bay Center, if we want to get – the question was, you know, what do you think about sports activities and their return on investment? And my belief is there's absolutely return on investment, but we are behind and significantly so. I mean, go look up and down the Gulf Coast. If that's the way we want to go, and I do believe in that, that we've got now four or five hotels being threatened downtown that have some real smoke to them that I expect will happen. You know, hopefully something happened at the Grand Hotel. But, you know, to me, the bottom line is, you know, we should make a commitment of that critical mass, and we should take care of the Bay Center that. As you've heard me say many times, Andrew, find me one citizen in this county that says, man, you know, I think the Bay Center's in ship shape. I mean, it's beautiful. I've never heard a human being say that. We all know it's 40 plus years old. And why aren't we taking care of the things? Priority one should be this, something that could be a crown jewel. Priority two would be, let's create critical mass at the same place for these events to happen. And if we want to invest in sports tourism, then I believe in that, and let's do it. And let's do it in a thoughtful way. I think that thoughtful way is to do it around the same site.
Yeah, and I particularly appreciated you saying, like, you thought that basically the bones of the Bay Center are good, that renovating the Bay Center is going to cost a lot. But when it gets done, it'll look like a brand new facility instead of the notion of raise it and start over, which is, what, $300-400 million. So that's just not going to happen.
The structure, people say, why don't you bulldoze it? Yeah, that will never happen. I mean, it right. will be, the bones are fine, those have been inspected. And as you said, if you close your eyes and open them at a renovated facility, you wouldn't know that it was the same building if it's done to the degree that it needs to be done. And we're talking more of a $40, $50, $60, $70 million type project versus a $400 million right. project that I don't even know where that funding would come from.
We always like to end with a couple of frivolous topics, a couple of a lightning round thing. First one is, when you're sending an email to a friend, do you sign the email the way you would sign a letter, or do you not sign your name? Like, even if it's an email thread back and forth.
Ooh, at most, I just put BC, but I would say, no, to a friend, probably not. No,
probably not. Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, usually it's weird, but it's kind of like I'm writing a letter, even on the replies. Typically, yeah, no, I don't go formal. I don't go quite that way. Yeah. when commencements take place, this is our topic yesterday. When commencements take place, the mortar boards that the graduates wear, the little square hats, a lot of people have taken to decorating them with all kinds of things these days. Pro con on the decorator. What do you think? Should they be individual, or should they just conform to the whole group and make them black?
I don't know. I feel like there's other ways to, you know, when I did the commencement speech the year prior, you know, people would have different scarves or different, you know, some other things. I don't know about the hat itself. I think you'll want the, to me, you'd want the authenticity of the original hat down the road.
I gotcha. And I'm going to surprise you with this one. I don't know if you caught this conversation. We talked about this recently, but What would you think of football getting rid of punts? Because the punt is a way of rewarding bad offense and giving them the ability to get out of bad field position without having actually advancing the ball. It's a kind of social safety net for bad offenses.
I would put that in the same basket. I know you're a baseball guy. I would put that in the same basket as this crazy idea about letting
the golden batter
come up during the game. Like, completely changes the sport. I mean, no, I couldn't be more opposed to that. I mean, maybe I'm old school or traditionalist, but I mean, the idea that you'd have to go for it on 4th and 9 from your own 5-yard line because you don't want to, because you want to get rid of punts would be outrageous, sacrilegious.
Oh, I love it. Sacrilegious. Outstanding. D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, city council meeting tomorrow night. Mr. Mayor, as always, thank you so much for the time and for doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right, Dave. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're starting to see about a 20-minute congestion delay through that construction zone. And also, if you're going to Avalon southbound, trying to get onto I-10, I'm seeing about a 10 to 12-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
If a new Volkswagen is on your holiday wish list, there's no better time than now to sign and drive a new VW home for the holidays. Yep, the Sign and Drive event at Peakmore Imports offers you the 2025 Atlas and 2025 Atlas Cross Sport, both available for a 36-month lease with zero down payment, zero due at signing, and zero first-month payment. It's as easy as signing your name and making room under your tree or your driveway. Plus, the 2024 Tiguan and Taos crossovers are also available to sign and drive home for the holidays. And the 2024 VW Jetta SEL is now discounted a full $3,000, bringing its sale price to a low $28,451. The holidays are here, and the Peakmore Imports family wishes you and yours a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Sign and drive is for a 36-month lease for qualified customers through PCI. Excludes tax, title, license options, and dealer fees. No security deposit. Example lease for a 2024 Tiguan S is $379 a month for 36 months. Discounts on Jetta before tax, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Offers valid to January 2nd, 2025.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9. At home with Gary Sullivan at 10.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, that wildfire in Southern California destroying a lot of homes in Malibu. KABC in Los Angeles says at least 7 structures have been destroyed so far. Another 8 have been damaged by this fire. It broke out Monday night and still pretty out of control.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Hey, coming up, the third offer on that OLF 8 property. We'll talk to him.
Local.